What is up, wrestling fans? Welcome to episode 115 of Smack Talk from SmackOutMoment.com. I'm your host, as always, Tony Mango, and with me on the mic this evening, we have Drew White.
Hey guys, I'm the co-host this evening. I'll be doing nothing today.
Miguel Leon.
I could hear your smile over the radio, Drew.
No such thing as smiling on radio. Come on.
Steven Wego.
Can we do this in abuse some other time, man?
Chris Jester.
Hey, what's up?
And Sean Walker.
Remember, folks, don't play Uno with a Mexican because they'll steal all the green cards.
All right, Miguel.
And there goes Miguel.
I'm not Mexican,
Leon.
You dicks. I'm Puerto Rican. There's a difference.
The Royal Rumble is coming up this weekend, so you know what that means. It's time for us to give our insanely long predictions for the pay-per-view. And our main event for tonight's festivities is going to be breaking down all the statistics for that, but that's coming up later on in the show. Right now, we need to take care of the wrestling trivia question of the week, otherwise known as Ask Him.
Ask Him.
As a recap for how this works, there are two questions, one for the panel of guest hosts and the other for the audience to answer, and they're both tied together in some fashion. Last week, the question for the panel was, what is the luckiest number for entrance at the Royal Rumble that has the most amount of winners? The answer was number 27, as four people have won from that spot. The question to you was, what is the number with the second most amount of wins under its belt? And that answer was entrance spot number 24, as three people have won from that spot. Hulk Hogan in 1991, Steve Austin in 1998, and The Rock in 2000. Who got it right? Thomas Sander, who spit out all sorts of other statistics, figuring out back and forth, well, if this person won and this person didn't and all that other kind of stuff. Awesome job. The Rosa Show and I, Curry, Johnny Castaway should have gone with his gut feeling, but went with number 23 instead. Now, on to this week's question. We're keeping the Royal Rumble theme going on here, and in light of the announcement that CM Punk would enter at the number one spot, let's talk about the Iron Man concept, and we're not talking Robert Downey Jr. We're talking about more statistics and bullshit mathematics and all that. So, for the panel, this is a pretty easy one. Keeping it easy for you guys. Who are the two men that hold the records for the longest and shortest times in a single Royal Rumble?
Rey Mysterio and Santino.
Santino.
Righto. But this is where it gets tricky. I kind of felt like being evil to you guys this week. Oh, so for the audience, the question I pose to you, who has the most cumulative time spent in Royal Rumbles? By that, I mean, who is the person who, over the course of their whole Royal Rumble history combined, has been in the Royal Rumble the longest? Do yourself a favor. Just have fun with it. Take a guess. Don't try to look it up on Wikipedia. Or on SmackOutMoment.com's records itself, which just goes right to SmackOutMoment on the Wikipedia
honestly,
one.
Honestly, this is a very easy question. This is some pussy shit, as they say on the street.
Well, it's Earl Hebner. He's been in the most Royal Rumbles, obviously.
Yeah. But he hasn't been in the ring. Though. He's been on the outside of the ring, so it doesn't count.
He's been in the ring.
But go ahead. If you think you know what the answer is, make a guess, and I'll tell you who guessed correctly next week. I smell something burning here, which means it's time for the hot tags coming up in part two.
I was like, oh shit, my ham.
Welcome back, everybody. We're on part two of episode 115, and it's time for the hot tags. What went on this week in wrestling? Let's talk about Jake the Snake Roberts and his comments against the Ultimate Warrior, and then Ultimate Warrior taking shots back, and Jake the Snake apologizes, and Ultimate Warrior's... what was it, like his PR guy or something like that, just kind of calls Jake Roberts out in turn. It's just like, oh, you're fucking caught in your lies, you asshole, or whatever. Just, oh, man, Warrior has so many enemies, doesn't he? Kevin Nash had that whole fight. He has his whole problems with Hulk Hogan. Now Jake Roberts. What is going on with this? What do you think?
Wouldn't it be awesome? Is this the Hall of Fame ceremony was just set up to beat the piss out of Ultimate Warrior on live TV?
Like, their video package is all shit that, like, Jake Roberts was saying. And all the things that Vince McMahon has been saying for the past couple of years when they weren't in good spirits with
Ultimate Warrior. They just take clips off the self-destruction of Ultimate Warrior. Yeah. And then...
I like that DVD. I know it's a hit piece, but I really do like it.
When he comes out, just have Kevin Nash and Hogan beat the piss out of him.
No, you gotta be careful with that. Nash might tear his quad.
So what do you guys think about the Jake Robertson Warrior thing? Is that going to hurt any other chances? Obviously not necessarily Ultimate Warriors by now, but is Jake Roberts digging a little bit of a ditch for himself? Or is this just one of those things that it happens and people blow over and it doesn't really matter?
It's just a Twitter beef. You get them all the time. Fucking Del Rio and Batista had a Twitter beef. It's just is how social media is. Ultimate Warrior put him in his place, rightfully so. And Jake apologized. I don't think anything else is going to come from it. Jake did what was right and covered his ass. And given his past, I think people are just going to accept it. So I don't think much is going to come from it.
Jester, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. Like he said, the Twitter thing, just it happens all the time. I don't see anything happening out of it.
Sean, tagging you in.
Christ, I always have Twitter beef with people, so...
You're always like sending news. Ultimate Warrior fuck you messages. Drew?
Well, as a co-host here on Smirk Out Moment, I just wanted to mention something about this little thing we're talking about right now. First off, how many appearances has Ultimate Warrior had on Raw besides for the promo that they had for him being inducted into the Hall of Fame? Exactly none. He has not been on Raw. At least, what's his face? Jake the Snake. Yeah, that guy. At least he has. So,
Hold on. Are you counting the 90s era Raw? Because he did come back in, what, 96, I believe? And he did make Raw appearances then.
Hey, Miguel, shut up. Anyways.
You're fact checking, bro.
I meant this year, Miguel.
Okay, recently. Okay, you should have been more specific. Recently. Okay.
Miguel, come on. Seriously.
Freaking Mexico.
Bush League. But anyways, this shouldn't affect anything about Jake the Snake. Jake the Snake is the man, as they say. Oh, yeah!
Miguel, any thoughts on this?
It just makes me wonder what would have happened if they had something like Twitter around in the 80s, and you had 80s-era Jake feuding with 80s-era Warrior on Twitter. That would have been hilarious. But yeah, this is just... It just is what it is. It's Twitter. You know, that's really all you can say about any sort of wrestler beefs on Twitter.
And joining us on the call right now is Mike Payton. Payton, what do you think about the Jake Robertson Ultimate Warrior situation?
Well, good evening, everybody. Apologize for my tardiness. I had to serve all the fine people of West Point hot dogs. Yeah, it's Woo! A glamorous lifestyle I live. as far as Jake the Snake and this whole situation here, my biggest concern is I hope this doesn't mean he's been hitting the sauce again and then going on Twitter afterwards, because that would be quite a depressing story. Other than that, I mean, it's what wrestlers do. I mean, they get into arguments with each other and they probably forget about it by the next time they see each other in person. I don't think this is going to be anything that develops any further. I think they're just trying to get some more headlines out of their time while they're still big in people's minds between Warrior getting in the Hall of Fame and Jake being on Old School Raw.
What if this is all building up to Jake the Snake Roberts on Twitter versus Ryback? Who can have the stupidest comments and make more of an ass of themselves?
Stupid.
And Kurt Angle wins.
I was hacked.
Unico is apparently unmasked by Alberto Del Rio on Main Event, and Sin Cara is talking about how he's officially done with the company. And this is, Mystico Sin Cara instead of Unico Sin Cara, and that he owns the rights to the Sin Cara name. So if that's the case, then Sin Cara is not going to be in WWE anymore. They're going to either repackage Unico for something else, maybe just keep the Unico name, maybe go back to the way that he had before where he wasn't on TV anymore. I don't know what they're planning on doing, but if that's true, that he owns the rights to the Sin Cara name, then WWE can't have Sin Cara anymore, no matter who plays the part. So let's go around again. Wego, what do you think? Is this good, bad?
I don't think he has the rights to the name. I'm pretty confident that WWE does from everything I've read. Is this something Sin Cara said, or...?
Yeah, he cut an interview with somebody, and when they said something about it, he was like, oh, well, you know, if you know how to have, like, the right lawyers and stuff, then that's why you get to keep your name. Like,
why even be Sin Cara?
It's fucking Sin Cara. He probably botched reading the contract. But shit, even if WWE has lost the rights to the name, so fucking what? It's no big deal. You can just slap Unico in a different mask. Sin Cara isn't over anymore. Might sell a whole bunch of merchandise, but any fucking mask wrestler will do other than Ricardo Rodriguez.
Drew, what do you think?
We don't have to worry about Botch Cara in that case and anyone trying to pretend to be Botch Cara. So I think it's a plus, if you really think about it.
Miguel?
I think I smell the next big signing for TNA coming up.
Always got to talk about TNA.
Did he even have money to sign people?
I'll give him like $20. Can you just come here? And he's like, all right, fine. I don't have a job otherwise.
Yeah, we'll give you a T-shirt.
I don't know if any Mexican promotions are going to take him. They're pretty strict when it comes to guys just up and leaving. I don't know if what's his name, wherever he was before, because I believe where
CMLL, he's putting those bridges.
Yeah, I think he said he might try AAA, but you know, who knows? That could be a possibility. But you know what? If it wasn't for the fact that they were broke, knowing the company, I would not actually put it past Dixie to throw a couple bucks out. But I guarantee you, whatever they do throw at him is going to be an insult. So I was just saying that in jest, but. That's unfortunate, because I really think if they'd have done it right, they could have made something out of Sin Cara. But you know what? It is what it is.
He's going to move on to collegegaragesales.com instead, take DiBiase's spot. Jester, what do you think?
I don't even know in what world he could own the rights to that name. Isn't that like a character they made up when he signed there? So if that's the case, I don't see how he owns the Sin Cara trademark. But like, yeah, even if he does, who cares? Like, I don't even remember Sin Cara ever being over, so I don't think anyone will give a shit if he's gone. Like, it's like if Heath Slater got released tomorrow. Who gives a crap?
Not even the people who do the lighting.
Right.
They're out of a job.
The people who make red gels, they're going to be out of work.
Sin Cara's light people who were hired for that reason are now on the unemployment line. Thanks, Obama.
Sean, what do you think?
I don't particularly care. You should have stuck to playing Uno.
And Peyton?
I my biggest concern about this whole story is how on earth could Sin Cara possibly owe this name? I know that's something that's nearly impossible for anybody wrestling in the WWE these days to do unless the name is actually their own personal name. And even then, they usually get some weird spelling or something of it so that WWE can keep the rights to it. And if this was a case where he was going to be able to keep his name, why become Sin Cara anyway? Why not just hold the Mystico name, which is a cooler name and also already has a lot of clout behind it?
Mystico was already taken by someone else. CMLL on that, and they've given it to another person since Sin Cara left.
Oh, wow, he just makes a habit of that. Well, the other thing is if they knew that he owned this name to begin with, unless they forgot, then why did they keep trying to push the character with another person under the mask?
It's actually happened before. There is one wrestler I know of that actually did manage to copyright his wrestling name through over WWE.
Are you talking about Warrior?
No. I believe Val Venus actually owns the rights to his own name because WWE forgot to copyright it, and so he did. So he actually owns the rights to his own name, but they're on such good terms that
The big hoo-ha that was made bringing this guy in, I'm sure they're not going to make a slip-up like that, not that they haven't made other slip-ups. But where we are now, if he's going and he's gone, I think the best possible thing that could happen for Hunico is to not be Sin Cara, because Sin Cara has basically become a parody of a masked wrestler. He's not someone that anyone's going to get strong behind. I don't think it's going to sell a whole lot of masks. All people do is make their botch car jokes. People make fun of the lights. People make fun of pretty much everything involving the character. Hunico is a really talented guy. I think if they want to put a little bit of money behind him and make him into something special, they can do it. I think this will be the best thing for everybody involved except for the original Hunico. And you know what? He's made lots of money throughout his life, and he's been burning bridges left and right, so I don't think he has anyone to blame but himself.
You know what it will sell a whole lot of, though? Penis t-shirts.
I see.
Another hot tag here. NBC wants to have the physical Hall of Fame location in the Universal Studios Park in Orlando. And one of the reasons why is because they want to try to make that a bargaining chip to keep Raw and SmackDown in their lineup, which is pretty smart, I think. And with the network coming up, they're probably panicking about that. So I think not only is that kind of a cool idea that the Hall of Fame could be there, but it's a smart business play on NBC's move, and if WWE goes for it, then that'd be pretty awesome, and I hope that it would happen pretty soon, because, fuck, I want to go and see it. Wego?
Sorry, I missed that.
The NBC Hall of Fame Orlando Universal Studios thing, what do you think?
I don't care.
Not a big fan?
No.
Oh, that was disappointing.
What?
Abandoned tag! Abandoned tag!
What in the hell? Yeah, does anybody have anything to say about this?
No.
Did you say Jordan is going into the Hall of Fame?
I can understand if nobody gave a shit.
Mango, I didn't hear you say my name. Someone said something, then... Okay, so is it my turn to speak?
Yes, it is. Oh. Do you think you can host the show?
Well, as the co-host for tonight's episode of Raw, and hopefully... Wait, Raw?
Of Raw? That sucks.
That was your last strike. Anyway, what do you think about the Hall of Fame thing going in Universal Studios?
You know what? Universal Studios, they cut their tags with TNA... Tired of those tits and ass to get some of that WWE stuff. So, good for Universal. And you know what? I give this a good Drew White verified hashtag.
Moving on quickly. Justin, what do you say?
Justin? Who the hell's Justin?
All right, that's your strike now.
Jester.
I said Jester.
He didn't say Justin. I think it's cool that they're going to make a physical Hall of Fame. And it's smart that they had put it in Orlando because it's like a really good tourist attraction. So if they want to attract people to the Hall of Fame location, then, you know, why not Universal Studios? So,
now, Miguel, you live in Florida, right?
Yes, I do.
So would this be something that would, you'd jump right on it and go check it out almost immediately? Or do you not really give a shit either?
No, I actually would. If I had enough money to actually go to Universal Studios, that'd be a big draw for me, and we could always use more tourist attractions here, you know, to kind of boost up business. I think this is great, and I think this really shows how much WWE is getting out of this whole NBC Universal deal and why it's so much more fruitful for them to stay within that network. You know, there was always people talking about how they might go over back to Spike, or they might sign with, you know, another network consortium, but I mean, they're getting so much out of this NBC Universal deal that I can't see them signing with anybody else. So I think this is actually really good, and it really fits in with the fact that they've got the Performance Center down there and a bunch of other things. I'm all for it. I'm excited.
Sean?
It is what it is. Ric Flair is going to wrestle Goofy. No, Goofy's Disney, isn't he? Shit.
SpongeBob. This is SpongeBob.
Oh, gosh, this is way past due. There should have been a physical Hall of Fame like 15 years ago. So this is about time if this is truly happening. I'm a little upset to hear that it's not in WWE country, which is my hometown area here. If they had put it probably not in Connecticut, I would say more in the New York area. And even though they've already had failed chances at making high profile locations in New York City before, they don't have to do it in the heart of Times Square. You could even do it in in Poughkeepsie. Hell, do it in Poughkeepsie. They have a lot of history in that town. That'd be perfect for me. But of course, it's not money wise very smart to put it in a location like that. It'd be very smart to put it in a place where there's already tons of people walking around and spending money. And a place like that is Universal Studios. I went to Universal Studios almost every year as a youngin', during the winter, during break from school, we would go down there, visit my grandparents, and always take a trip over to Universal Studios. So I have a lot of fond memories there. I love that place. And I think it would be the perfect spot for a wrestling Hall of Fame, however they want to do it there. And I also think that it's really cool that WWE is cementing the presence for themselves in Florida between this and the Performance Center. I don't think there's going to be any room for any other companies down there. Hmm. Just saying.
And let me just say this. Expect at one point TNA to storm the WWE Hall of Fame like they did when WWE did their Universal tapings at one point.
Oh, gosh.
I guarantee you, you're gonna see the American Wolves. You're going to see who else is the – can they throw their Robbie E.? Let's see who else. You got to throw the main eventer. So Magnus.
Who are all these people?
What's CNA?
What's funny though is they can't afford a tank to do what WWE did with WCW, so they're just gonna have like paper cardboard cutouts of a tank.
They're gonna have little action figures on a toy tank.
Do you know
those cars that you like pedal?
Yeah, it's gonna be a rickshaw. It's just gonna be they're gonna have Abyss pulling it. It's just gonna be them.
Their new sponsor is Kawasaki Ninjas.
Pow, pow, power wheels.
One last hot tag that we have. Kane hangs up on an interviewer after they call him Isaac Yankum. Immediately afterwards says that they need to reschedule for another time. Holy shit. He did not have a sense of humor about that whatsoever.
He's keeping it kayfabe is what it is.
So pretty much we should invite him on and call him Isaac Yankum to see if he leaves, right?
Wego, what do you think? Does DDS stand for Don't Do Show, or was this all justified?
It wasn't justified. There's no... I mean, it was a lighthearted joke. If they had kept badgering him, like, after he went, laughed it off, and then went, no, but seriously, are you Isaac Yankum? I don't understand him getting pissed off, but he didn't roll with the punches, and I'm just going to assume he was in character, or because everything I've seen of Kane outside of WWE, like whatever videos he's in, he seems like a generally nice guy. So either he was just in a mood that day, or he was in character. I don't know what to think of it otherwise.
He just came back from the dentist, and he's like, man, the last thing I want is to just deal with anything more about dentists. I want to get that right out of my mind. They're like, hey, remember when you were a dentist? He's like, fuck! Drew, what do you think?
I thought this was the greatest thing I've ever listened to in my life when I first heard it. Oh, man. It was I thought it was funny. You know, it was probably rude. It is rude, but God, just the way the people who were doing the show, they're like, seriously? And shows, you know, and Kim was just like, yeah. I thought that was the funniest thing ever. You know, you know he's not going to be rescheduled anytime soon, unfortunately, so... You know, so I hope Isaac Yankum, you know, will come out of retirement and maybe have a match with Kane down the line, hopefully.
They get Festus to be in there, just like fake Kane.
Fake Diesel face each other.
Actually, I bet that's TNA's next big signing, Isaac Yankum. Rumor has it. So yeah, go Isaac Yankum.
Was this on Scoop Scoop Scoops?
No, it was on Wrestling Content. Yes.
Beat me to it.
Sean?
Yeah. Kane. Taking the playbook out of Sean's playbook. I don't fucking know. I'd be drinking.
Leave the playbook out of your
playbook. Was it an untitled playbook?
Bullshit.
Miguel?
It kind of reminds me of a couple years ago when they, I don't remember what radio show it was, but there was a radio show that had Mickie James on back when she was in WWE, and they ambushed her with some of her old softcore stuff she did earlier, and the interview ended like immediately after that. But in terms of this...
I can't do that with Kane.
Yeah, obviously. It's just Kane knowing what's best for business, and, you know, Vince does not want people to remember Isaac Yankum. That was a mistake that he just wants to be like, all right, that never happened. That was just a kind of, you know, let's erase that from the books. And Kane's just kind of following that rhetoric. It could be a situation where he just doesn't want people to – he doesn't want to be brought up about it, you know? Like some actors have those roles that they do early in their career that they don't want to be reminded of. Maybe Isaac Yankum is just that for Kane, you know? It's like when you mention that character from Fast Times at Ridgemont High to Sean Penn, he just – he just won't even acknowledge it. There are just certain roles that people just want to forget.
I just remembered, why are you packing fudge, Tom Cruise?
Jester?
You don't fuck with the devil's favorite demon.
Well spoken, sir.
That's it.
And Peyton, round us out.
This is a tough situation because I really see both sides. I do think Kane lost his cool a little bit too soon. It was just one quick little quip, and if they had kept going at it long and longer, completely 100% justified. Some other factors that I have to take in consideration is Kane is playing a different character that he's ever done before, and he is kind of playing someone who would get a little more timid and annoyed at a comment like that. But Kane also isn't someone to typically follow the old school mentality of keeping your character 100% of the time. I mean, he played the big red monster, yet if you talk to him in any interviews outside, he was always a genuinely very kind fellow and also very intelligent. He's a very active libertarian. So this really kind of confuses me. As I said, Kane's always come off as a really cool guy. So for him to have a bad attitude is not normal for him. The more research I've done about these radio guys, they don't seem like pros. Seems like they do this type of heckling to a lot of people. So maybe Kane knew going into this that these guys were likely to be a problem. And once he saw they were making jokes off the first line, he was just like, yep, yeah, you know, I know where this is going. This is done. I'm out of here. Because I believe on that very same clip I was listening to of this whole thing going down, the guy's like, wow, that's got to be the fastest one we ever did. I mean, maybe Rob Zombie or someone else, some other name they brought in there. And if it was Rob Zombie's another guy, you know, sure, his image might be kind of scary, but he's a pretty genuinely cool dude, and he's not going to do something like that if there wasn't some type of reason. So I think there's a lot of factors going into this, and a lot of people are looking at that pure 10 seconds and vilifying Kane on it. I think he had his reasons. And honestly, it's not like he cursed at them or blew them up. He just hung up on them. And a lot of the ways they deserved it. So
he was very polite about it, too.
Yeah, we're going to have to reschedule this, guys. Yeah, bye-bye. He could have, you know, who knows what he could have told him.
All right, well, that's going to round out the hot tags. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back and start knocking out all of our predictions for the Royal Rumble. Before we get into the main event of the evening, instead of doing a bathroom break on Smack Talk, we have what we call the rest hold part of the program, which we use to knock out some of my promotional material and scramble around some of the other quick segments that we have on the lineup. Quick reminder that there are three avenues where you can listen to this show, so if you're currently on one of them but you would prefer an alternative, well, we've got you backed up. Smack Talk is on youtube.com/smarkoutmoment, as well as on iTunes and on Stitcher. The YouTube account is where you can find some other things like the Did You Know parody of the week, and some interviews every once in a while. And then on the other side of the spectrum, every so often we'll be doing a special dark match featurette, which you can only find on the iTunes and Stitcher versions. So if you want to take advantage, subscribe to all three. The first thing to take care of out of the normal rest hold schedule is, of course, the Bleacher Report card. Everybody's favorite segment. For those interested in knowing what I've written this week for that website, I've written three articles that detail different sides of the upcoming WWE Royal Rumble 2014 pay-per-view. There's a power ranking of the likely Rumble winners after the January 20th edition of Monday Night Raw. Then there's a look at the other people that won't win, but they'll still shine at WrestleMania. And then to tie both of those together and do a little bit of a retrospective, former winners of the Royal Rumble from the past with the worst showings at WrestleMania. Also keep in mind that immediately after the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, I'll be putting two different reviews up, so stay tuned for those as well. For those other three, you can find a link to them on the YouTube description, the Facebook and Twitter accounts, SmarkoutMoment.com's homepage under the little Bleacher Report banner, and of course on BleacherReport.com itself if you want to go hunting. The YouTube comment of the week goes to William Carey. With JTG, it's going to be Where's Trent all over again. The superstars will start going, Where's JTG? And the board will be, Who's JTG? Oh, he's on the payroll? And then he'll get released. You know what? That's probably how it's going to happen in all sincerity. So if you got some kind of a funny comment that you'd like to share with us, insightful commentary, or anything else for that matter, go ahead and keep sending in those comments, everybody, and tell us to smark your words. The next edition of the monthly mailbag is coming up on episode 118. So if you have any questions that you want to ask us to get to know us better or whatever it may be, make sure you send those in using the contact form on smarkoutmoment.com. Fill up our inbox, and we'll make sure to answer them for you. Remember the Sign Me Up initiative? If you bring a sign that says Smark Out Moment to any kind of a wrestling event and send a picture or a video of it to me, I'll feature it on the website and on the next episode of Smack Talk. If you're a fan of things like video games, movies, and comic books, and TV shows, and all other things that are kind of geeky, then you should check out my other website, fanboysanonymous.com, as well as the relaunched iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube accounts. Fanboys Anon is the YouTube channel if you want to subscribe to that. And finally, if you're interested in becoming a member of the writing team for SmarkOutMoment.com and you want to do live TV show results or breaking news updates or an editorial column of your own to get your point of view out there, lots of different things that you guys can tackle. Just send me a message using that same contact form and I'll get back to you. For now, break time's over with. Let's get back to work and start reviewing all the predictions that we have for this year's Royal Rumble. Welcome back, everybody. We're on part 4 of episode 115. Let's start talking about Royal Rumble predictions. And we're going to start off with the kickoff pre-show match, WWE Tag Team Championship, The Brotherhood, Cody Rhodes and Goldust against the New Age Outlaws, Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. And I'm excited for this match because I think that they're going to have a really, really solid pre-show match, unless they screw them out of time, which it could happen. You never really know. If they give them enough time, I think that this should be really fun. And no matter who wins, I think I'll be happy. If New Age Outlaws end up, for some reason, winning the titles, that'd be pretty cool. If Cody Rhodes and Goldust keep it, you know what, then I'm fine with that too. I'm not as crazy about this Cody Rhodes versus Goldust at WrestleMania idea that a lot of people are. So if they just go in as the tag team champions and defend against a shit ton of people or something like that, I probably would rather enjoy that more than Cody versus Goldust. So this is kind of a win-win thing. The only way I think they could screw this up is if they don't end up actually having this match, but they end up having, you know, they include some other crap into it, or they do some weird booking that, like, you know, messes up the actual match quality itself. But I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be cool. Prediction-wise, I'm thinking it stays with Cody Rhodes and Goldust. Wago?
I think New Age Outlaws are going to either, if they don't win on the Royal Rumble show, they're going to end up having a rematch on Raw and winning the belts. I think they're going to take the titles off the Brotherhood very soon.
Do you think they're going to go into WrestleMania with the titles, or do you think they're going to drop that again?
With New Age Outlaws?
Yeah.
I think if they're going to put the belts on them, I think they'd drop them to someone like the Usos at Mania and give them the rub. Even if it's in the pre-show.
Miguel, what do you think?
Honestly, I'm tired of seeing the Brotherhood with the titles. I mean, they put on great matches, but I think we've seen as much as they can do. I'm not saying split them up, but do something new with them. And I think putting the belts on the Outlaws is, you know, they're a hot team right now, even though they're technically the heels, I guess, given the situation with Triple H. But you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing them. They've really impressed me as of late.
Drew, what do you think?
I think this is very interesting because a part of me thinks that they could actually win it off of Goldust and Cody Rhodes. But I don't know, because there's so much for potential matches going on into WrestleMania. And there's been the talks of the Cody Rhodes-Goldust feud for the past few years at WrestleMania. I don't know if they're going to do it this year. So I think, you know, unless they have plans of Cody Rhodes and Goldust dropping the titles before WrestleMania, I think they're going to keep the titles otherwise, and they will not have that match. So, but I'm going to go with that Cody Rhodes and Goldust will win the title.
Sean?
Oh, you didn't know?
Yeah, I did know.
New Age Outlaws are going to win this. I'm getting fed up with Cody Rhodes and Goldust as well as tag team champions. I think they should have dropped the belts to the real Americans like a long time ago. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a good match. I'm looking forward to listening to the Road Dogg during the pre-show entrance. So, yeah, I'm going to be watching. Peyton? First pre-show in ages, so.
Peyton, what do you think?
I think the New Age Outlaws are going to take the Brotherhood to the best match that they've had as a tag team yet. What? I think this is going to be an absolute clinic. I think New Age Outlaws, as they've continued to show, that they still got it. And I think it's so fitting that we have the three people who have come back and have been showing up all the youngins in the New Age Outlaws and Goldust all together in this match. I think it's going to be a total blast to pass seeing those three guys in the ring together here in 2014, as if we don't have enough of it with Batista and Brock Lesnar and John Cena and Triple H and Randy Orton. I take it back. Now I'm all depressed.
Wait. Do you think it's going to be better than the Shield versus Brotherhood match?
I think, that and the Survivor Series triple threat match that they had?
Probably. I think the best match that the Shield had was with the Usos. I don't think their ones with the Brotherhood were as good as that one was. But anyway, I think this will be an absolutely amazing match. Possibly match of the night, except I do believe the Brotherhood will come off on top in this match. Like Steven, though, I think we will see a rematch. However, I don't think it's going to wait until the following night on Raw. I think we're going to be brought backstage with the Authority, with the New Age Outlaws in the back with them, saying there will be another match tonight. This time it'll be no holds barred, no DQ, barroom brawl, whatever the hell they want to call it. This time the New Age Outlaws will get the victory, maybe with the help of the Shield, maybe with the help of Randy Orton, maybe on their own just because the rules are broken. They could do a little bit of chicanery on their own, whatever it may be. By the end of the night, I would expect to see the belts off the Brotherhood onto the New Age Outlaws. However, I do not call for a Brotherhood breakup, at least not during the tag match. If they want to toy with it during the Rumble, we could see that. But honestly, I don't want to see them break up. I think the time for that match has come and gone, and I think the allure for that match is gone now. I think seeing those two together has just been too awesome. Like, everyone thought, yeah, we want to see them face each other. I don't think a lot of people really took the time to think about what we could see with them together mm-hmm. as a team. And I think it's just surprised a lot of people. And actually, we heard a few people on our panel here say that they want to see him break up. So obviously it's not 100%, but I would say for the most part, people are very happy with this tag team. And if we're going to keep a robust tag team division going forward, why not keep them together?
You bring up a good point too, about the idea that we've got these older guys wrestling each other. Isn't it kind of funny that right now we don't have any older guys confirmed for the Royal Rumble? I mean, if you count Batista, then that kind of counts, but he's not really like, even as far back as, the three people in this match. It's kind of funny, like, the only old people that we have confirmed for the Royal Rumble aren't in the Royal Rumble right now. They're in the tag team title match. Like, it's kind of like the reverse of what it should be. You should see somebody like Billy Gunn pop up, do a quick Royal Rumble spot, you know, get eliminated a couple minutes later, and that's about it. Not like we're depending on you guys to have a really good pre-show match to sell the pay-per-view because, well, fuck, we're not going to throw 3MB in there. Like,
well, I'm gonna predict a Royal Rumble run-in by Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I think that's the safe bet.
Didn't he get surgery or something?
Did he?
I think he just got, like, shoulder surgery or something.
No, why did you say that?
All right.
He was holding up his hand going, oh, too much, and then something. Anyway, Jester, what do you think about the tag team title match?
The pre-show match? Who do I think is going to win?
Yep.
Cody and Goldust.
Any specific reason?
Nope. I feel like they're going to do that spot where they're both the tag team champions in the Rumble later. Goldust eliminates Cody, and then they have a match at Mania, champion versus champion.
Alrighty, so we're going to move along here. Next part, we're going to talk about two big beasts, or actually, only one of them is supposed to be a beast. Brock Lesnar against The Big Show. Okay, Brock Lesnar versus Big Show, and this is a pretty simple one, I think. This has to go to Brock Lesnar. There's no real way in my mind that you can have Big Show beat Brock Lesnar if you have some kind of an important spot with Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. It doesn't matter if it's against The Undertaker or if it's against Batista or Sheamus or fucking Daniel Bryan. Whoever he faces, he has to go into WrestleMania looking like a dominant, total asshole. And he can't look like Big Show is dominating him like he's been doing the past couple weeks. So 100%, Brock Lesnar wins this and probably beats the living hell out of Big Show after a couple minutes of Big Show kind of teasing the whole I'm bigger than you, throwing him around kind of thing. I think this is going to end with either Big Show being taken out of the game for Elimination Chamber or just being humiliated and then, you know, kind of tucking his tail between his legs and running away. Brock Lesnar all the way from my prediction. Steven?
I definitely have Brock Lesnar going into this, and it's smart on WWE's part. You need to put Brock Lesnar in a match. Big Show's been built up quite well from last year. I think the only real loss he had was against Orton at Survivor Series. There's no better way to make someone look like a badass than beating a 7-foot, 500-pound guy up. So I think pretty much like you said, we're going to have Big Show throw him into the corners a couple times, give him the big chops before Lesnar just beats the piss out of him.
Peyton, what do you think?
Well, I think the one thing that you aren't taking in consideration is that we spent the better part of the later half of 2013 building up the star of the future, The Big Show. I mean, they constantly had him out, dominating over the Authority. They were getting him over with his yes chant, which is absolutely huge now, if you could believe it. So I would have to think, as I said late last year, that 2014 was going to be the year of The Big Show, and it begins now by dominating over Brock Lesnar. No, I'm fucking kidding. Of course, Brock Lesnar's going to break his back and make him humble.
Jester?
Sorry, I can only take your first answer.
Yeah, it's so obviously Lesnar here. They've had Big Show look dominant the last few weeks. Lesnar's taken too many embarrassing losses already. There's no way you can preserve. Sorry. There's no way you can preserve his credibility by having him lose to Big Show. Like there's no way anyone he faces at WrestleMania still looks credible if he takes a loss to Big Show. The only thing I'm concerned about is if he does take Big Show out And Big Show returns right before Mania, and that's who they have face Lesnar. That would be really gross, but I could see that happening. And I don't want it to, but I could see it.
Sean?
I'm giving this to my man, Paul Heyman. Paul Heyman is going to screw both of these men out of the championship match at WrestleMania.
He's gonna side with Ryback. He's gonna have Ryback do it.
Yep, Ryback's gonna come down and fuck them both up.
Ryback,
because he's a Paul Heyman guy, and Ryback rules. Feed me.
I'd fucking mark if he came out and did that interrupting shit around the ring during the Brock Lesnar's Big Show match.
King Big Guy, yeah.
But yeah, in all seriousness, it's gonna be Brock Lesnar.
Miguel, you going with Lesnar as well?
Yeah, it's a safe bet. I mean, WWE has nothing to gain from having Big Show win. You know, I'm still amazed that he was able to get as big as he did during the whole Daniel Bryan situation. That, to me, was just a fluke, you know? And I don't see what they could do with Lesnar after it if he loses, nor do I see what they could do with Big Show if he wins. So it just makes more sense for Lesnar to go into his upcoming title matchup on a high note, because he is technically the number one contender after this.
And honestly, Big Show's at that point in his career where he's like enhancement talent now. He's got like a big star. You put him in world title matches on a pay-per-view and you can sell like a smaller pay-per-view. But really, you use him to build up the other big threat.
Yeah.
And Brock is a young-ish. He's younger than Big Show. You know, like big star. He's one of their big guys. So you use Big Show to put Lesnar over here. There's no other reason for it.
I wouldn't use the word enhancement talents, but he's definitely a guy that you can throw mid-card or main event or 1 week to the next, and everyone will buy it. So
he's a main event fluffer, basically. You put him in there to kind of, if you need a spot filled in the main event with somebody.
Is he a pillow fluffer?
I'm surprised you went that route with the term fluffer.
Right, so am I. Drew, are you following suit? Everybody going with Lesnar, or are you going to stand out and go with Big Show?
No, I'm going to go like, oh fuck, I almost said Peyton. I was going to make a Big Show joke, but
Peyton's going to come out and do the running instead of right back. Yeah, I'm the big guy.
I already fucked this up, so
I'm really disappointed you didn't start your sentence off with as the co-host of Smart Girl Moment.
As the co-host of Smack Talk tonight, I'm going to go with my homeboy from Minnesota, Brock Lesnar. And the reason why is because Brock Lesnar is quote-unquote a beast. And if you have a quote-unquote beast, you need to do this thing called win. Brock Lesnar wins. He doesn't win them all, but he wins a majority of them. And with that, if anyone could be up CM Punk, anybody can. So Brock Lesnar for the win.
All right, we're going to...
Helpful insight by Drew White.
We're going to go with part six coming up, Daniel Bryan and Bray Wyatt. Daniel Bryan faces off against Bray Wyatt, and a lot of people thought that this match wasn't going to happen. I actually was a part of that group because that concussion really was at a bad time, but everything seems to be cleared up, and we're going to get that match, which in the grand scheme of things, I think is good, because I did not want this to build up to a match with the two at WrestleMania. Get it out of the way now and move on to something else. Hopefully, maybe he faces either Triple H or he faces Orton for the title. I don't know. But as far as Daniel Bryan versus Bray Wyatt goes, I'm not really that into the match overall. I don't think it's going to be really that great. It could be pretty decent. Bryan has pulled out bigger things in the past like that to be a surprise. So there's a possibility that it could be good, but I don't know. I'm not too thrilled. I'm not going to be really excited when this comes on. This is not the selling point for the pay-per-view or anything like that for me. And I hate to say it, but I think we're not going to see Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble, and we're going to see him just win here, and that's going to be it for him for the night. I'd love to see him lose to Bray Wyatt because of interference from Harper and Rowan, and then go on to win the Royal Rumble, but I'm way too hesitant to think that WWE is going to do that, so I'm going just Daniel Bryan wins, standard match, means virtually nothing, the end. Wego?
I initially thought Daniel Bryan wasn't going to be in the Rumble either, but just thinking about who else they can put in there, I have no idea. I mean, Dolph Ziggler's gone too, so you can't have rely on him to be putting on a decent match in the Rumble. So I think Daniel Bryan's going to end up winning tonight, and then because I don't think he's going to win the Rumble, I think he needs some momentum going into it.
Jester?
I would love to see Bray Wyatt beat Daniel Bryan as a huge Bray Wyatt fan. But I think Daniel Bryan needs to win more, honestly. And I think that we will see Daniel Bryan in the Royal Rumble. I think he's too big. He's gotten too big this year to not be in the Royal Rumble. I could see a scenario where Harper and Rowan are going to town and Bryan shows up. One of the spots gets one of the spots. I could see it. Or maybe they tell Bryan he can be in the Royal Rumble, but he's going to have to start number two. Hmm. And then Punk and Bryan start the Rumble and go all the way to the end. That could be really cool. But I think Bryan will be in the Rumble. I can't imagine the Royal – like, Bryan was everybody's pick to win the Rumble a few months ago. I can't imagine him not even being in the match.
Yeah, what happened with Ryback? Everybody was going, Ryback's definitely going to win, challenge Big Show for the World Heavyweight Championship.
But he was in the match.
He was the final two.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't end up happening with the win itself, so they could have just figured out, screw it, we don't want Bryan to win, we're not even going to put him in there, period.
I don't think he'll win, but I think he'll be in the match.
Sean?
I'm going to agree with what Chris just said, with the whole Daniel Bryan winning, and then the authority is going to go, congratulations on what you win tonight, and here's your number two spot in the Royal Rumble. Good luck out there. Pat him on the back and send him on his way.
Miguel?
I want to see Bryan in the main event at WrestleMania, but I feel like they've got a much bigger star planned to take on Orton. If their plan is to keep the belt on Orton, I think they've got a much bigger star planned for that, unfortunately. In that case, you know, if you're not going to have him in the Rumble, you need to have him win the matchup against Bray. But at the same time, I think from a psychology perspective, I would actually give the win to Bray and I would have him dominate. I mean, Daniel Bryan is one of those good talents that can make a wrestler look better. And Bray's one of those guys that I think is best when he's just dominant. You know, if you try to give him a good back and forth matchup, it's not going to work. I don't think he's that kind of a worker. You know, he's a guy that you put out there to beat people up. He's a big dude. He's a smash mouth worker. I honestly, it depends. If by the time this matchup happens, we don't know if Bryan is going to be in the Rumble, I'm going to give it to Bray and I'm going to give it a dominant fashion. But if that happens, I think he's going to win the Rumble.
Payton?
Well, since we have a whole segment we're going to be dedicating to talking about the Rumble, I will withhold my judgments of that until we get there. For this match, I actually see Daniel Bryan coming on the shorter end of it. As far as how that comes to be, not completely legit. You could just have Harper and Rowan interfere. I would like to see something a little more crafty played. Perhaps I would have Daniel Bryan chanting to the fans, doing his yes thing, and have him get taken down while he's not paying attention because of that. Make him realize, crap, I'm back in the fans' hands, but maybe a lot of things Bray Wyatt was saying was true. Maybe I do need to learn to look out for myself a little bit more often. Setting himself in a tighter mindset for later in the evening. And we'll leave it at that.
Drew?
Well, as the executive vice president hope of Smack Talk with Smart Talk Words...
You can't can't even do the fucking botch roll that I made for you. You botched the botch.
Yeah, Drew, we're
are you sure you're not playing Sin Cara?
Well, anyway.
It was a sentence. You couldn't read it.
My cursor was in the way. I couldn't tell.
Next episode, the part of Drew White's been played by Hypnico.
Anyways, as you know, your guest host here on Smack Talk on Smart Cat Moment. Kennedy. Anyways, I do not think this is going to be a clean finish. I think it's either going to end in like a double count out or a DQ type of finish, and then they're going to finish this up at the Royal Rumble match later on in the night.
Alrighty, one more match before we start talking about the Royal Rumble stuff. Part 7, World Heavyweight Championship. WWE World Heavyweight Championship. John Cena gets one more shot at it against Randy Orton. And there's kind of two conflicting things here. A lot of people think that Randy Orton's going to retain, and I'm a part of that group. I think that he's going to retain and keep it going into WrestleMania and drop it to, well, I'll get to that later. But there is also a group of people that think that this is where John Cena's going to pick it up, and the whole landscape is going to change, and we're going to have lots of different feuds that just end and then move on to something else. There's been reports about Bray Wyatt versus John Cena, Batista versus John Cena, fucking everybody against John Cena, everybody against Randy Orton. So this is a, like, totally haphazard. But match quality-wise, I don't think this is going to be anything spectacular. This will be something people just forget about. And the outcome, same kind of thing. Randy Orton just wins. I don't think this will be impressive whatsoever. Wego?
Orton wins. Fuck finish. Don't know what. It might not even go to a finish. It might just end via DQ or something.
No, it has to be pinfall, doesn't it?
Is that a rule?
It has to be pinfall or submission, I thought.
Well, if there's a stipulation what puts Orton at a disadvantage, then he definitely wins. It's WWE logic.
We go.
Yeah, I'm not gonna. It would be nice to kind of shake things up for John Cena winning the title going into WrestleMania, but I don't see WWE doing that. I see this being just kind of. I'm gonna say it right now. It's gonna be a 10 minute matchup. It's just gonna be in, out. Orton wins. We move on to the big matchup.
Jester?
Yeah, man, the Viper is winning. He's going to take it home because he just got the belt last month, and I don't see Cena taking it off of him. I actually think they're going to do Cena Taker at Mania, which is why I don't think he'll be in the title picture at all.
Ooh.
So, I mean, like, WrestleMania 30 seems like the perfect Mania for Taker to go out on, and the only person that makes sense is Undertaker John Cena. I've been saying it all year. So, ever since last year, I just didn't think John Cena would be in the title picture this year. So I don't think he wins this. I think this is his rematch for losing his belt. And he loses in a semi-shady way, and he just doesn't get another shot. And then Orton goes on to face. Or he loses in a really screwy finish, gets one more rematch at Elimination Chamber and loses that. And then he faces The Undertaker. That could happen. But I see Orton going into Mania with the belt, and I see Cena facing The Undertaker. I don't see Cena in the title picture at all, so I can't see him winning here.
See, I think that built-in extra rematch, if they want to do it, it's just the Elimination Chamber itself. Just Cena goes in there because he's John Cena.
Yeah, that could work. Yeah, John? I didn't think about that because of the Rumble thing, because the Rumble winner gets the guaranteed title shot now, so the Chamber match kind of has to be for the title.
Actually, I'm gonna go into another logic. I think at the Elimination Chamber, it's going to be Cena or in Lesnar. I see that being a triple threat match, and I think the Chamber matchup is going to be like, I don't know, maybe a number one. Well, you can't have a number one contenders matchup because there's no other belt.
Maybe just decide who faces Taker or something like that. They could do that.
Oh, yeah. They'll do that thing where the winner faces the Undertaker, and they can do that and then have the triple threat matchup as like a sub-main event or just whatever, the main event. Because why have the Elimination Chamber be the main event at your Elimination Chamber pay-per-view?
Well, Sean, what do you think's happening with Orton and Cena?
Draw. I reckon Cena's going to have Orton in the STF. Orton's going to roll up Cena. Randy Orton taps as soon as the three count happens, and it's going to be no contest, draw, and they're going to go at in the Elimination Chamber.
How do you roll him up from an STF position? I don't even see how that's possible.
Have you seen how Lucy has that moving?
Didn't Edge do that exact same thing?
Exactly.
They could do that stupid finish you did at Night of Champions where a suplex is off the top ropes, but both shoulders are on the ground for the pin from both people. So it could be they could do that.
And then you could have Kali count 1, 2, 3 because he's good at that. Drew?
Well, as the general manager of the board of directors of the video production crew here on Smack Talk, here on Smart Cow Moment and on the YouTube page, I have a few opinions. I don't know, and I don't know which one I should really believe in. A part of me believes that Cena can win the title back. You guys are being really down on it, but I do think Cena does have a shot at winning this title back because, I don't know, it just feels weird that they have enough trust to have Orton, out of all people, be the headliner and the part of the main event of WrestleMania 30. I don't think he is that big of a draw, and a player to be put in that spot. So part of me does think that Cena can win. And also, I don't even know if they'll actually have a finish in this match. I do think that it will finish in a draw if they're going to opt for a certain any type of finish at all. So, you know, I do think Cena will end up taking a title off Orton before WrestleMania.
Peyton?
This is a tough one. I don't even know why these guys are even having this match. Everyone said, oh, John Cena's getting his rematch because he lost the title at TLC. Yeah, whatever. I don't buy this whole automatic rematch thing. I'm a fan of the old Jack Tunney rules. You lose your title, you go to the back of the line. You got to work your way back to getting that title. You don't just automatically get a rematch at the next month pay-per-view. For this... this is tough. I mean, I don't expect a great match out of these guys. I think they've got all the gas out of what they're going to get between each other at TLC. These guys have already faced each other dozens of times. I can't think of a reason to be excited. And this is sad because these are two of your biggest guys, and normally they don't have two big names like this facing off at a Royal Rumble. I remember on the Keeping Kayfabe podcast, we did the Royal Rumble world title match. I believe it was 2004, and it was Brock Lesnar and Hardcore Holly. You compare those two names to this, quite a different amount of star power in there.
Peyton, I have to correct you on that. Bob Holly won the Royal Rumble that year.
Oh, touche.
Yeah, he eliminated the Big Show. He was the number one entrant, I believe. Pretty impressive. Yeah.
Looking back at this story, the big thing throughout the story was Randy Orton attacking John Cena's dad, and... that would just lead me to believe that in the end, John Cena, as the babyface, has to get his comeuppance. Whether that happens at Royal Rumble, I don't know, but I think before we get to WrestleMania, John Cena will take that title away from Randy Orton and go into WrestleMania with it. Whether that happens here or Elimination Chamber, I could totally see some type of schmoz ending with this. I completely forgot about the pinfall or submission thing. The first thing actually was coming to my mind was that John Cena loses his cool trying to get revenge for his father and maybe gets himself disqualified or something like that. But if this truly is only pinfall or submission, whatever that exactly means. I mean, they're always funky with their terminology, but it does say no stipulations, no interference, no excuses. That's the exact wording they're used for the advert for this. I'm giving John Cena the win in this, and absolutely, if not tonight, then before WrestleMania.
Who do you think he's going to face in a WrestleMania?
The winner of the Royal Rumble, of course.
Uh-huh. Oh, me and Peyton think a lot alike.
All right, well, that's a good little transition here. Part 8, we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty and start talking about all the little stats and records and all that stuff that we have going on with our predictions for the Royal Rumble match itself.
Do we have one of those cool videos where it's like, buy the numbers?
We'll have to hire that woman to start and only
No, it's a guy now. Because remember, yeah, and remember, there's only one guy you entered at number one.
We'll get through to do it in the next part. All right, the Royal Rumble match itself. Now, if you guys have followed Smarkout Moment in the past, you know that I usually go all out, try to have as many different things to predict as possible, and a lot of them just turn out to be total bullshit in the end because they have a mind of their own when it comes to different Royal Rumbles. Sometimes they follow the same patterns, and sometimes they specifically try to do something different, which is really cool about it. And we're going to talk about a lot of different stuff here. I have some extraneous crap that I'll mention, but... basically, what we are going to boil this down to, we're going to try to predict the 1 to 30 entrances, the final four of the night, who has the most eliminations, who is the Iron Man and lasts the longest out of the whole 30 participants, who has the shortest time, who is the winner, and what's going to happen when they go on to WrestleMania. In general, we'll talk about the Royal Rumble when we close all of our stuff out, if we think it's going to be a good match or if we think it's going to be kind of a boring one or anything else like that. But we're going to go around the horn here. Drew, give us all your predictions. Lay it on us.
Well, as the COO of a branch of a mango tree and a Fanboys Anonymous and a Smarkout Moment, I am pleasured that you go with your co-host for this evening to go first. So to start it off, it was a tough pick to try to figure out who the first person's going to be, but I have a good feeling that number one's going to be CM Punk and that he's going to be the Iron Man this year. I don't know if anyone else has that, but I'm going to go with that for my number one. Number two, I have Damian Sandow. And then at number three, we're going to have one of the Usos, but in particular, Jimmy Uso.
Number four, we will be having The Miz making his grand appearance. And then at number five, we will have Jey Uso. Because apparently WWE likes to have tag teams relatively close to each other. Number six will be Xavier Woods, and he will be the quickest eliminated because for some reason he's going to be the quickest eliminated. Number seven, we will have the appearance of the Road Dog, as they say around the world. And then at number eight will be the return of Sheamus. Number nine, Shamwow. Number nine is going to be Jack Swagger. And then number 10 will be Billy Gunn, the other half of Degenerate, whatever the fuck they're two. Number 11 is going to be Del Rio, everyone's favorite, and a part of Team Drewster, whatever we're calling it now. Number 12 will be the first S.H.I.E.L.D. member, Dean Ambrose. Number 13 will be Antonio Cesaro. Number 14 will be Goldust. 15 will be Seth Rollins. And number 16 will be Cody Rhodes. 17 will be the man with his first match in since 2010, Batista. Number 18 will be the ever so popular Big E, or Big D, or the crotch monster, Big E Langston.
Crotch monster?
Oh, well, we all know that cable joke. Come on. We all know that's what we look at in the match. 19 will be the new Bachkara, Rey Mysterio. And number 20 will be Roman Reigns, and he will have the most eliminations in this year's Rumble. At number 21, it will be Luke Harper, the first of the Wyatts to be in the match. Or, I don't even know why they call them the Wyatts. They don't even have the last name. Number 22 will be one half of Rybacksel with Ryback. And at number 23, man, I don't think anyone else will have in this Rumble. But I am going to be taking the risk and putting him in here. I'm going to put Sting in here. I think if he does come back to WWE, he's going to wrestle in a few matches beforehand. So I'm going to go ahead and put him here in the Rumble. I don't know if he'll be in there for too long, but I think if he's really going to return to WWE, I think they'll put him in the Rumble just right now. And number 24, we'll have Eric Rowan, because, you know, Eric Rowan. 25 will be Bray Wyatt. 26 will be Titus O'Neil. 27 will be Brock Lesnar. 28 will be Kofi Kingston. And then at 29, we'll have Jake the Snake, or The Snake, or Big D, and Jake the Snake Roberts. And at number 30, I am going to be having this, and as I said earlier, that this is going to entwine with a match from earlier tonight. And then at number 30, I'm going to have Daniel Bryan come out, and he will be the number 30th entry this year, my winner of the Royal Rumble. And I will be the winner of this contest as a result, because you guys suck. So... I will be the host of Smack Talk next week because of this. And at number 30, the winner of the Royal Rumble will be Daniel Bryan. And he will be facing Cena at WrestleMania. Shut up. He will be facing Cena at WrestleMania. Jester, just shut up. And he will win.
I didn't say anything.
That was me clearing my throat, actually.
Oh, shut up, Miguel.
He's paranoid.
So yeah. Match quality-wise, do you think this is going to be one of the more fun Royal Rumbles, or something in the middle, or not really a good one?
I think it could be... Well, since they have a lot of newcomers this year, like with Batista, I think this is going to be a more interesting. I think it's going to be a fun one. You know, I think having CM Punk in the beginning is going to be is a very good idea, because, you know, he's able to have these long matches. He'll be able to keep, whenever he's doing something, it's going to be at least somewhat interesting. And they have a good cast of members who are quote unquote certified to be in the Royal Rumble. So I think it will turn out to be a good Rumble match. I don't know, not best, but I think it will definitely be a good match. I don't know if they will be doing any of those like fancy. Oh man, is that guy? Oh no, he's on the barricade. I don't know if they'll do anything like that this year, but I do think that it will be a good match.
Sean, what is your lineup?
Well, as the people's champion of Smack Out moment, I have gone with number one, CM Punk, 100% right so far. Daniel Bryan is my number two. Kofi Kingston, number three. Number four, Rob Van Dam. Number five, Ryback. Six, Big E Langston. Seven, Seth Rollins. Eight, Xavier Woods. Number nine, The Great Khali. Number 10, Antonio Cesaro. Because why not? Number 11, Cody Rhodes. Number 12, Alberto Del Rio. Number 13, Rey Mysterio. Number 14, Batista. 15, Jack Swagger. 16, Roman Reigns, most eliminations. Number 17, Dean Ambrose. 18, Curtis Axel. Number 19, Damian Sandow. Number 20, Fandango, quickest eliminated. Number 21, Luke Harper. 22, Eric Rowan. Number 23, Christian, remember him? Number 24, Wade Barrett. 25, Goldust. 26, The Miz. 27 and 28, Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso. 29, Jake the Snake. And number 30, a returning Sheamus. And as for my final four, I have got CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, and Wade Barrett. Mm-hmm. And for my winner, I have picked CM Punk, and I think it's going to be CM Punk versus Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania, because Daniel Bryan's going to win the Elimination Chamber.
Wego, you're up next.
All right, number one is going to be CM Punk, number two, Roman Reigns, number three, Kofi Kingston, number four, The Miz, number five, Seth Rollins, six, Wade Barrett, seven, Big E, 8, Dean Ambrose, 9, R-Truth, 10, Billy Gunn, 11, Xavier Woods, 12, Road Dogg, 13, Jimmy Uso, 14, Eric Rowan, 15, Big Show, 16, Jey Uso, 17, the returning Evan Bourne, 18, Luke Harper, 19, Cody Rhodes, 20, Ryback, 21, Goldust, 22, Sin Cara, 23, Daniel Bryan, 24, Damian Sandow, 25, Batista, 26, Jake the Snake, having a return before getting chucked out pretty fast after doing a DDT to Damian Sandow. 27, Kane. 28, Rey Mysterio. 29, Alberto Del Rio. And number 30, returning to the WWE, Sheamus. My final four is going to be CM Punk, Batista, Alberto, and Kane. Batista is going to eliminate Alberto in the final two. CM Punk's going to get screwed by the Authority, and Kane's going to eliminate him. My Iron Man is going to be CM Punk. Most eliminations go to Roman Reigns, and fastest elimination goes to Xavier Woods.
Who was your winner again?
Batista.
Batista? Okay, now we're on to Peyton.
Well, CM Punk will obviously be starting things off at number one because we learned that he will be put in that position this past Monday on Raw. Number two, starting things off with him, I think, will be his good friend and buddy and the only other person that he could really start things off with, Daniel Bryan. Now, the two of these guys are going to be around for a long time, so let me just go through the other names that are going to be coming, keeping him company for little bits of time. Three, Brodus Clay, hashtag main event player. Number four, Bad News Barrett. I wanted to do my Bad News Barrett impression, and I just couldn't do it. I'm sorry. I couldn't bring myself. Number five.
Bad news for people looking out for
you. Botched
Xavier,
it.
Yeah. Five, Xavier Woods. Six, Jey Uso. Seven, Fandango. Eight, Eric Rowan. Nine, R-Truth. 10, Ryback, come in there, make a little crazy business, throwing a lot of people out, getting things cleared out, just in time for the high flyer, Kofi Kingston, to come in and make lots of fun jumping around all over the ring, followed up by Luke Harper, Jimmy Uso, 14, Dean Ambrose, 15, Big E Langston, 16, Goldust, 17, The Miz, 18, Roman Reigns, another big fella that you're going to have come in here and just wreck stuff on his way out there. Soon after he comes out, though, matter of fact, 2 minutes after he comes out, 19 will hit you right in the face with the return of Chris Jericho. Number 20, Cody Rhodes. 21, Seth Rollins coming out, giving a little bit more Shield love out there. 22, the only legend I'm calling for to really make, well, depending on your definition of legend, but the only old-timer legend that I would see coming into the Royal Rumble, Jake the Snake Roberts. 23, Alberto Del Rio. Number 24, Heath Slater. I had someone else there, but I had to replace him. I'm going to put in Heath Slater for 24. 25, Santino Marella. Get both of our comedy people out there. Number 26, Rey Mysterio Jr. 27, Damian Sandow. Now here's where it gets interesting. 28, The Animal Batista. 29, Sheamus, returning from injury. And I know a lot of people call from being a number 30. Well, you got to surprise him a little bit early. Oh, really? Santino just had back surgery, huh? Well, I guess he's not going to be back.
He's not going to be back.
Whatever. Well, Santino's interchangeable with anybody. Put in freaking Jinder Mahal face turn him. It'll be good. Sheamus in 29. And coming in, rounding things out, number 30, Brock Lesnar. Pardon me. My final four, I predict, would be CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Sheamus, and Batista. And my longest time would be Daniel Bryan. Shortest time, Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar comes in very quickly, gets eliminated and embarrassed by Batista, setting up a feud for them going forward into WrestleMania.
I would fucking love that so much.
What were the other ones I had to give besides winner?
You did the shortest time, the most eliminations.
Oh, most eliminations, Roman Reigns.
And
shortest time, I said Brock Lesnar. Longest time, Daniel Bryan.
Iron Man, yeah. Then winner, yeah.
I guess the winner would be Daniel Bryan. In the end, I would see it coming down to the two men. Actually, no, I wouldn't see the final two men being Daniel Bryan and C-Buck. I would see the final two men being Sheamus and Daniel Bryan. These guys have a lot of history between each other. And I think having the freshly returned and coming in late in the game, Sheamus, going against the guy who's been there since the beginning, Daniel Bryan, would create a lot of tension, a lot of excitement, and Daniel Bryan would be the man to come out in the end, go on to WrestleMania, and face John Cena once again for the title at the biggest stage of the year, and once again have to prove himself, get that big-time slot. And this time when he gets it, I don't think there's going to be any holding him back afterwards.
Jester, you're up.
Yeah, I'm not doing all 30 of mine because it's not finished and y'all bore everyone to death, but I'll do other ones. Most eliminations, Roman Reigns. Longest time, CM Punk. Shortest time, Heath Slater. And winner, I think, is going to be CM Punk, and he's going to go on to WrestleMania to finish Orton for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship.
All right, for anybody that's interested, too, by the way, the 30 entrances and all that, we're going to try to get them all posted up on smarkoutmoment.com so you can check them out maybe during the pay-per-view if you're not also checking out the sidebar chat and talking to us throughout it. Miguel, go ahead, hit us with yours.
I've got my 30. I'll say them real quick. I'm not going to number them. I'm just going to go down the list. Punk's first. After that's going to be Eric Rowan, Seth Rollins, Bad News Barrett, Alberto Del Rio, Ryback, Batista, Xavier Woods, Jey Uso, Damian Sandow, Goldust, Luke Harper, Jack Swagger, Cody Rhodes, Big E, Fandango, Dean Ambrose, Rey Mysterio, Antonio Cesaro, Roman Reigns, Jimmy Uso, Kofi Kingston, The Miz, and R-Truth. It is for my six unlisted. I'm going to go with Daniel Bryan, Heath Slater, Jake Roberts, Brodus Clay, Curtis Axel, and as a wild card pick, I'm going to go with JBL. Ooh. I think he's going to run in as kind of the legend of the group besides Jake Roberts.
Then you can follow what they did the other year where all the commentators came in.
Oh, that was awesome.
Josh Matthews is going to run from the little panel that they have up at the top. He's just going to run down through the crowd and come in and...
In terms of my Iron Man pick, I think Punk's going to be the Iron Man. I see him making it to the final four, by the way. I think he's going to be my Iron Man pick. I think shortest elimination, I'm going to go with The Miz. I think he's going to just come in, get clotheslined, and then be out because it's The Miz. Screw Miz. In terms of my final four, I think I'm going to have it go... I'm going to have it go Batista, Punk, Daniel Bryan... And as a fourth intangible, I'm going to go with Roman Reigns. I think that's going to be the final four. And the winner, I'm going to go with Batista. Like I said, I think that WWE is going to want big names in the main event. And if Orton's going to be your big heel going into it, I can see them doing Orton-Batista. I feel like they've already set that up with Batista's return. So as much as I would love to see Daniel Bryan win that spot, I think his time has passed. I think they'll probably have him do something more with the Wyatts, maybe. You know, if Cena's not going to be in that spot, they could always slot Cena into there as Bryan and Cena versus the Wyatt family or something. I still say that it's going to be Taker versus Brock, but if they can get Sting to sign up with WWE before long, I could see them doing Sting versus Undertaker just to get that out of the way finally. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Did I miss anything else in terms of my Rumble picks. I got the final four. I got the Iron Man. I got the shortest time. And I got the winner.
Most eliminations.
Most eliminations, I think I'm going to agree. I'm going to go with Roman Reigns. I think he's going to be the big standout star.
All right, that brings my list up here. CM Punk, obviously, number one. Number two, I think, is going to be Seth Rollins because they need to work the Shield in there right to start because not only do they have that entrance, but that's a way to get somebody against Punk who he can trust to kind of keep going for a while. It's a big enough name that they aren't kind of spoiling things too fast, but at the same time, it's a good enough name to satisfy the fans.
Can I pose a question?
Shoot.
When the Shield comes down during the Royal Rumble match, do they come out through the stage, or are they still going to come in through the crowd?
I think Seth Rollins is going to come out. Number two, that kind of opens up that timing to be able to do that. But throughout the whole rest of the night, when Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose come out, they're just going to come out through the normal entrance thing.
I think they're going to do the crowd.
What did Edge and Christian used to do?
Edge and Christian, I think they just ran in through the entrance thing.
Royal Rumble 2000, I think they came through the crowd.
I think they're going to do the crowd.
Hmm. That'd be kind of cool if they did it each time, especially because they would kind of use that time to, you know, they typically do that whole like, oh, well, they're taking their time to get down to the ring. Well, that's a smart thing. You know, like they have the same kind of quotes that they usually do. That would be a perfect opportunity for that.
Del Rio should come out for the crowd and get stabbed.
I think we're going to have that CM Punk and Seth Rollins thing starting it off, having a pretty good, solid beginning to that. And then Antonio Cesaro coming out number three. That's another name where you can end up having people pick on Punk. It's another ROH thing. They tend to do some things every once in a while in the Royal Rumble where they throw out little references to the fans. So that is another way, two people on one against Punk. It gets a little bit easier for him when Jimmy Uso comes out at number four, Curtis Axel at number five, R-Truth at number six, Kofi Kingston at number seven. That's just to fill up the ring. They typically have the first 10 people, a bunch of people who don't really matter in the end. So that's where your Curtis Axel and Jimmy Uso and R-Truth come in. Kali at number eight. Kali has almost always been in the top 10 people for the beginning of the Royal Rumble. So I don't think that they're going to step out of their bounds and do something different here. Jey Uso, because you have to have tag team partners relatively quickly popping up next to each other at number nine. Fandango at number 10. Rob Van Dam at number 11. And then we get our first house cleaner of the night, Roman Reigns at number 12. And he tosses out maybe three, four people here. The R-Truth, Axel, Uso, Kali. He really he measures the whole thing, levels it, and starts back over again. He doesn't knock out everybody, but that's just knocking it down to CM Punk, Rollins, and himself maybe. Cody Rhodes comes out, Big E Langston at number 14, Miz at 15. Then we get hit with Dean Ambrose. Now the Shield, midway through the Royal Rumble, has all this power, and they're not completely dominated where they would just toss Punk out, but they've got a couple other people they can fight, you know, the Big E's and so forth. Rey Mysterio at number 17, Goldust at 18, again, very close to Cody Rhodes. Christian is our first surprise entrance at number 19. And he doesn't do jack shit afterward. This is just to get him out there because they haven't seen him in a while. And there's no big build to WrestleMania or anything. Alberto Del Rio at number 20. Jack Swagger at number 21. Darren Young at number 22. And poor Darren Young. I always make a joke about him really not having a whole lot of time at the Royal Rumble. Because number 23, Batista comes out. And Darren Young is one of the first people thrown out. He is going to be my shortest time for the Royal Rumble this year. He's barely going to last into Batista's entrance. Xavier Woods at 24, Luke Harper at 25, Damian Sandow at 26, Eric Rowan 27, Ryback at 28, because they like to use big names at the end. Big guys at the end. And Ryback can't be trusted to just sit in the Royal Rumble the whole time. Titus O'Neil is rounding the 29th spot, and then Sheamus is the big surprise at number 30. Final four, Punk, Batista, Roman Reigns, and Sheamus. Obviously, by that default, Iron Man is CM Punk because he lasts from number 1 all the way to the end, is the winner of the match, Most eliminations, though, goes to Roman Reigns. And I think, quality-wise, this is going to be a really good Royal Rumble. I'm fucking pumped for this. And it's not only because of the fact that the Royal Rumble is my favorite pay-per-view of the year, usually, and my favorite gimmick match, but there's something about this that I'm very optimistic about. I don't know why, especially because I'm very worried that they're going to give it to Batista. So if they don't give it to Batista and they give it to Punk, or they give it to Brian, who I don't think is going to be in it, or you know, another person that I like a Dolph Ziggler or something, all the better. But quality-wise, I think this is going to be a really fun Royal Rumble, and I'm super, super excited. Even if we're not going to have Vince McMahon doing the old typical shit where every time somebody gets to the end of the ropes and he goes, "Oh, he's eliminated, he's out. No, he's not. Every fucking time he used to do that. Hilarious. So, real quick, we're going to go around the board here and give just a little summary of our thoughts, what's going to happen with the winner going on to WrestleMania. Wego?
Sorry, you said, what do you think is going to happen going into WrestleMania for the Royal Rumble?
Right, just a real quick summary of what your plan was.
What I think is going to happen is we're going to get Batista versus Randy Orton, unfortunately. I think for guys like Daniel Bryan, you're probably going to see him thrown in a match with either John Cena or Brock Lesnar. The situation with Undertaker and Brock Lesnar basically depends on what's going to happen with Daniel Bryan. I know Daniel Bryan, Undertaker wants to face Daniel Bryan and Brock wants to face Undertaker. So I don't know what's going to happen there. So besides that, I think that's what's going to happen.
Jester?
I think you're going to have Punk versus Orton for the title, the authority versus the guy they've been putting down all year. You'll probably have Bryan versus Triple H. Bryan has to beat the guy who screwed with him all those times to get any kind of comeuppance from this. John Cena and The Undertaker, because this, you know, the best match you can do with Taker and probably his last WrestleMania. And Brock Lesnar versus Batista. I think that's a really intriguing match. Two guys who didn't cross paths before, and now there's a chance to have that match. They're both hot names, so that's a really appealing match for WrestleMania. So that's the four big matches. I think you start the path to that at the Royal Rumble. So.
Miguel,
I have a question. Is the Authority a face or a heel?
Heel.
Neither.
I can't tell. I mean, there are some times where they do really heel stuff. But then there are times where they'll come off as faces, like with
not
the,
everything is black and white.
Yes, yeah, silly.
Yeah.
You silly goose.
It falls on a spectrum. It's kind of like a Kimsey scale, you know.
If they were one or the other, though, they'd be heel. It's
kind of like I don't subscribe to that whole black and white thing. Not when your introduction to being an authority figure is screwing out the biggest face in the company. I mean, that to me was just, you can't go back to that, and I can argue that till the cows come home, but I'm not. But
thank God.
What if the cows are home?
And have you seen the guys at Scoops are reporting that we're going to be the surprise entrances? They're ridiculous. Jimmy Wang Yang and Too Cold Scorpio.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, if he came out, he'd come out as Flash Funk. I mean, come on. And we'd have the Funkadactyls versus the Funkettes. So, Miguel, who do you think's winning, and what do you think they're going to end up doing for WrestleMania? What's going to be the headlining championship match?
Unfortunately, I see Batista versus Orton. I mean, it's a new matchup. It's a matchup we haven't seen in a while, but it's such an unfortunate situation because if there was another title in the picture, I could definitely see Daniel Bryan taking that secondary main event title shot. But since there isn't, I think we are going to see a situation where it's Cena versus Bryan Cena and Bryan versus the Wyatts. I could definitely see that. In fact, I know people have been – I know there's been rumors about maybe trying to have something between Hogan and Cena. I could see a situation where it's Hogan, Cena, and Bryan against all three members of the Wyatt family. That'd be an ugly matchup, but I could see them slotting that into there. And that'd be a pretty high-profile matchup for Daniel Bryan. I mean, you got two of the biggest stars in history, of the WWE in there.
I got a question for the people who think it's going to be Orton and Batista. What do you see CM Punk doing then if he's not facing Randy Orton or winning the Rumble?
Triple H.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Triple H versus CM Punk matchup. I mean, that considering the interference by the Outlaws, I could definitely see a situation like that. Mm-hmm. In terms of the Undertaker matchup, I don't know. I'm going to hold hope that they can get Sting to sign and finally get that matchup underway. But if not, it's going to be Brock Lesnar.
AJ Styles versus The Undertaker.
Sean, what's your winner and who are they going to face at WrestleMania for the title?
Daniel Bryan is going to win. No, CM Punk is going to win the Rumble and Daniel Bryan is going to be his opponent because he's going to win it at the Elimination Chamber. And I think the Authority are going to throw us a curveball. They're not going to enjoy this match and they're going to make us have a Money in the Bank match at WrestleMania.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So what are they going to do with the Money in the Bank pay-per-view?
Get rid of it.
Scrap it all together.
I don't know. Money in the Bank has actually been doing pretty well numbers-wise. I mean, the last two shows have been really good, better than it has any right to be.
You know what? You know what? Miguel is right. You know, we gotta have the Divas Money in the Bank ladder match. I can't wait.
They should put it on pay-per-view and just have Kane like fucking do his pyro and set all the ladders on fire like he did at Mania.
Yeah, see, that's cool. I could handle that.
With the Divas climbing them.
So Drew, what's your winner and who are they gonna face at WrestleMania for the title?
I'm gonna go with Daniel Bryan because a part of me still thinks that, you know, they have confidence in this guy and that he is the biggest face in the company. And you know, usually WrestleMania should be the time for the biggest face to face one of the biggest heels. Except I think this is gonna be one of those occasions where they're gonna have like two popular guys facing each other with John Cena and Daniel Bryan.
And Peyton?
Daniel Bryan not being in the Rumble has to be a ruse. It has to be.
Yeah, I can't see a way Daniel Bryan's not in the Rumble. And as I said earlier, he is my pick to go on to WrestleMania to face the champion, John Cena. I imagine Daniel Bryan will pick up right where he left off, having tough times with the Authority. I can see them trying to hold him down all the way through the road up until WrestleMania, maybe even make him put his title shot on the line at Elimination Chamber, which I always hate when they do that, but I could see them forcing him into a situation where he has to do it. When we get to WrestleMania, though, I don't know if it'll happen before. I would do it at WrestleMania, but I would see John Cena taking his rightful spot as the face of the company, standing alongside Triple H and Stephanie McMahon.
What?
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with a pretty basic, boring plan that, you know, they can always think of crazier things that could be more entertaining. They could always think of worse things that people go, oh, holy shit, why didn't you just go with the boring thing? I think we're just going to get CM Punk go all the way, fight Randy Orton for the title at WrestleMania. Bare bones, nothing special to it. So, now that we got all of that taken care of, just one other thing that we got to try to predict for the Royal Rumble pay-per-view itself, whether or not they're going to have any other matches. So the very last part, we're going to round that out real quick, and then that'll be it. Now that we've talked about all the matches that are confirmed so far for the Royal Rumble, there's only one other quick thing that we should mention, and that's the possibility that they might add another match, which right now it seems, from my perspective at least, the only thing that they could add is AJ Lee versus Naomi. And if they do, that's a pretty simple situation where it's a bathroom break in between probably the Brock Lesnar and WWE title match, and AJ Lee wins. It's a pretty simple thing. We're not going to see some giant push for Naomi here or anything like that. And I don't think we're going to see any other matches. I don't think any of the feuds that they had built up into 2014 are going to carry over because they haven't been doing anything with Miz and Kofi. They haven't been doing anything with Ryback necessarily. None of that stuff's really important right now to them. So we get a Divas match or nothing at all. Wego?
The Eliminator defeats the whole Divas roster and becomes the Divas champion.
He's the special number 31 entrance to the Royal Rumble.
Yep, sure, we'll go with that.
No other matches, though?
No, we might get a fucking bullshit IC title match, but I don't even think we'll get that.
Drew?
Yeah. AJ Lee.
Good input, Drew.
And that's the bottom line, because Drew White says so.
Sean, any other matches you think they'll add?
Diva Royal Rumble with the debut of Paige.
Ooh.
Ooh. Or that other chick, Emma.
Emma.
Well, she'll just be in that fucking crowd doing that stupid arm dance for some goddamn reason.
Absolutely.
That she can't even do right because she's holding a fucking sign. She's right. Just doing it with one arm and it looks even worse.
It looks like a Nazi sign when she's doing that, going back and forth. Jester, any other matches you think that they'll add?
Maybe the Diva match if they add any, but that's it. Naomi and AJ, like you said. The only thing I could see them adding. If they did have Naomi pin her, right? So that's probably enough reason to add it.
Miguel?
Are we all going to assume that they're going to have a tag team rematch on the off chance that the pre-show matchup ends like a DQ or a screwy finish?
No, I think we're getting it on Raw.
I don't think they'd have them. Yeah, I don't think they'd have Cody and Goldust and wrestle three times in one night, right?
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, I guess I'll just go with the one Divas matchup, and it doesn't matter who's in it with AJ, because AJ's going to win. There's no reason to drop the belt to her.
From her.
Whatever.
Peyton, any other matches you think that they'll add?
I think there's still absolutely a possibility we could see that tag rematch happen at the Rumble. It's not uncommon for them to have people wrestle 2, 3, 4, 5 times in one night even. I mean, especially when you consider certain other federations do multiple tapings in one night. You could have guys wrestling way more than 2 or 3 times in one night. I would certainly expect to see a Divas match. Naomi seems like a good opportunity for that. But what about that? Who's that chick that AJ was like arguing with backstage? Some sports chick?
Michelle Beadle?
Yeah, let's have her in there.
Everyone
was hoping that match would happen.
They're saving that for WrestleMania. That's going to be the big celebrity involvement.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, that's got to go somewhere, right? I mean, all those reports are going on it. I could see maybe, if not, then a tag title rematch and maybe some other just bullshit tag match, maybe like the Matadors and the Real Americans and Primetime Players and I don't care who else, some other random team put in there and just have them have one of those random 4-team matches that always surprise everybody with how awesome they are by the time it's done. Only this time it might not be as awesome because you're not having all the best tag teams there.
How about a Divas tag team matchup? AJ and Tamina versus the Funkadactyls.
They might do that instead of the tag title, yeah. Or not instead of the Divas title. God forbid they give them a tag title as well. Jeez.
I'd be perfectly fine with that matchup, actually.
One way or another, I think we're getting one of those Divas matches, just this buffer. So, the only thing left to do for this episode, we have to take care of some plugs. So, first things first, Drew, what do you have to plug?
Should I go with my own plugs, or should I be Tony Mango and plug his plugs? That is the real question. With Tony Mango.
Plug your damn bounce houses.
Smart Gal Moment and Smack Talk is a part of a mango tree where you can find all of my other stuff, like OutOnLimbs.com and FanboysAnonymous.com, where Out on Limbs is my personal blog where I'll just talk about some random stuff that no one really cares about, and Fanboys Anonymous, you know, almost everyone here is a part of Fanboys Anonymous and writes articles on there. Anything geek-related as well. Also, I'm going to go ahead and, since I'm such a nice fella, I'm going to go ahead and plug everyone else that's on the panel. No, I'm just kidding. Bounce Houses. That shit's happening. Me and Jester are starting up the Bounce House Federation. Look for that coming up, and we're going to be signing the TNA talent when they end up leaving TNA. So, yeah, be on the lookout for that. Go Pacers.
Leave your comments if Drew's a better Tony than Tony is.
I didn't know Tony was such a Pacers fan.
Right?
Drew White.
I didn't know Tony knew about sports.
Drew White, the Charlie Haas of Smart Out Moment.
You know what's pathetic about that? You're saying, oh, does Tony know about sports? I honestly do not know if the Pacers are football, basketball. Like
oh, my God.
That's
they're hockey. It's a hockey team.
That doesn't work out for me.
Hey, it's a hockey team, don't worry.
Shut up.
Hey, Payton, what's the Twitter handle for your Addicted to Anime?
Couldn't you ask me that in the chat rather than on the live show?
He recorded all that shit?
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was just him goofing off between segments.
Are we doing it live?
We're doing it live.
No, Wago obviously does not know the Twitter
after I just fucking Miguel'd.
Yeah, how are you going to make fun of Miguel and then forget your own stuff to plug?
Good job.
All right, Wago, go for the things that you do remember.
Live on the 23rd of February at 8 p.m., we have Addicted to Anime, where we'll be discussing Full Metal Alchemist and Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. You can also join us at facebook.com/addictedanimefans. And you will not join us at Twitter, because obviously I don't know the fucking handle.
It's at Addicts to Anime. ADDICTSTOANIME.
And also you can catch me over on UDMMA. That is my podcast that I'm going to be doing in a recorded format now. Basically, what the situation we got is I'm just trying to get the equipment and a new cast sorted out. So go to UDMMA.com, Twitter.com/UDMMA, and Facebook.com/UDMMA for all your updates.
Sean.
Yeah, hello. Just before I leave my Twitter, I want to give you guys an interesting fact. No jokes, an interesting fact. Scientists have discovered a food that diminishes a woman's sex drive by 90%. It's called the wedding cake. Thank you. I'm here all day.
Damn.
No plug? Okay.
Anyways, moving on. Mike.
You want to plug your short order account, Sean?
Sean the C2K37. I forgot all about it.
I thought he left.
He dropped the mic and was like, I'm out.
And walked off the stage.
Bye, Mom.
It's kind of like that rap battle from 8 Mile.
All right, Miguel, you're up next.
Yeah, and this time I actually do have something to plug. Besides my blog on 90s on fanboysanonymous.com, 90s Kid Presents, I am trying to get my last article on the top 16 games of the late 90s. After that, I honestly don't know what's left, and I'm actually going to have to talk to you about that, Mango. But besides that, I've got my show on Retro Unlimited on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Untitled Movie Show. We're going to be
perfect
doing
name,
episode.
By the way.
I know, it's very hipster.
Much better than Untitled.
And it's especially better than I don't know what the name is.
I don't know why I came back to this show. But yeah,
I don't either.
The Untitled Movie Show, Retro Unlimited on blogtalkradio.com. Episode 4 is going to be Thursday on Thursday at 8 o'clock. Let me see what the exact date is. Thursday the 30th, actually. Huh, the 30th. All right, yeah, Thursday the 30th, 8 o'clock, we're going to be discussing...
Disgusting? Jeez, that's disgusting.
Untitled movies.
No, the topic we're going to be discussing is, are movies getting too expensive? We're going to be talking about blockbusters and a lot of the ones that have bombed recently. So if you guys are interested in movie talk, just join me, Michael Burhan, and whoever else we can get on the show. Thursday nights, 8 o'clock, Retro Unlimited, blogtalkradio.com.
This whole fucking segment's bomb.
Jester?
How do I follow that up? obviously all of us write on Fanboys Anonymous, so check that out. That's going to be a beaten dead horse on this. I'm going to have a sports talk show on Mega Powers Radio in the next few weeks. So if you want to get details on that, follow me on Twitter at @ThatJesterKid for more details.
All right, Peyton.
And you've heard it here a couple times. I am the station director over on Mega Powers Radio. Please check out all the awesome stuff we have at megapowersradio.com, facebook.com/megapowersradio, and that's on Twitter too. Just follow the same handle. Specifically, join us every Monday night after the conclusion of Raw, because I'm going to take a wild shot in the dark here and say that everyone listening is a wrestling fan. So after Raw goes off the air, tune into megapowersradio.com, where you'll hear pretty much a lot of the same cast of characters you hear here talking about our thoughts about what just happened on the show, and even inviting you to call in and talk to us too. It's the only opportunity you're going to have to call in and talk to us directly live on the air about wrestling. We could shoot the shit. Doesn't even have to be about what happened on Raw. It could be about whatever random wrestling thought is in your mind, or hey, some other people, even just to call and talk about their weightlifting habits. So it's a pretty open forum. Do whatever you like. Also want to plug, we just moved Geek Speak to Thursday nights. That show is just taking on a new format. We spent this past week's episode talking about the Justin Bieber arrest and God, what else happened? Batman vs. Superman being delayed. Lots of cool geek news going down that we talked about on there. And of course, lots of other shows. Please stay tuned. megapowersradio.com, and many of those shows are also available on the aforementioned fanboysanonymous.com. Damn it! I almost did it perfectly. Botch. Next up at the end. Damn it! Damn it!
Bush League.
Botch.
All right, that's it for episode 115, guys. Next week, we'll be reviewing the Royal Rumble, telling you who got the most things correct about the Royal Rumble predictions, and so on and so forth. Big thanks to everyone who's a part of the panel, and for all of you for listening. This has been another Smark Out moment, and we are being counted out.
Outro. I walk for miles inside an alpha. I forget how it goes. Shit.
I forget. The fuck was that?
True, really? Yeah. The beginning was good. Boat. You should have just, God, like. Damn.
Can someone, ooh, like, yeah, just... I walk alone.
hang on. Can someone just give me the pace for the lyrics?
No.
Yeah,
you just listen to the first like Googling. 1 minute of it really quick. God, lazy ass.
You remembered the exact amount of the pyro.
Even the pyro, yeah. I was like, why are you doing the pyro, you ass
hat? It sounded like a fucking, it sounded like the longest drum solo ever. I was like, what the fuck's he doing?
I think it's the first time anybody's ever done pyro as an outro.
Fucking bombs.
Drew, can I ask, did you do any speed before you did the show today? Because you were the fucking wall.
You've been batshit insane since the, like, Payton hasn't even seen the worst of it.
You know, my...
What was that?
That sounded...